So today, we're so glad we can be here. The topic we're going to talk about today is hope. All right, spiritual cleansing. Spiritual cleansing. This is a particular event happened in the Luke chapter 19, after Jesus, right, triumphant entry into the Jerusalem, and that night he went into the temple, then out of the Jerusalem, the next day he came in, then happened that day. Since Luke only have two verses, we find a pair of verses in the Mark chapter 11 from the 15 to 18. But before that, right, we'd like to ask a question. How many people know about this event? All right. Church cleaning. Do you know who should be involved in this church cleaning? Everyone, right? How often it happened? Once a year. And what's the end? Cleaning up. Okay? But church is so clean already, why we need to clean it? Sometimes, my wife always asks me to clean up. Guess clean up where? At least my room, right? The place where I do my work. And it's stacking up all the books, all the trash everywhere. So it's neat cleaning. And also the house need to be clean. But there are so many members in the house. Guess how many people were involved in the cleaning? Probably just most is the mom, right? Well, since we are going here, we're going to like to talk about cleaning also is very challenging in the church. Because there is a particular one verse from the Bible, it's from the 1 Corinthians chapter 13. There's one say, love is not easily angered. Sometimes it's not that easy, especially when you got the cleaning involved. But today we are more focused on the spiritual, so we will not talk too much about physical cleaning. We are more talking about this. Education. Look, everybody so focused, right? Even Darren is studying there. Amazing. So focusing. So it's a perfect class, right? The teacher ever dream of. The student really focused on the book and they are really working on. And look in the back, the helper, they are so relaxed. So this is the best the teacher can ever expect it, right? Well, do you want to see the real color? That's what happened, right? If the teacher, right, sweep a little bit, something happened. So then coming back, right, to the obligation to the teacher, if you really want to clean them up, what kind of effort would involve? Would that be easy? Well, I will show you one expression. I particularly request the candidate to be here, but he's not here, so we can show this picture. That's the reaction. So spiritual cleaning, right? Cleansing is not that easy as we expected. They always have some difficulty, but most important is they have to be inside out. And that's the cleansing all about. Make it clean. So if you could open your Bible with me, turn to the Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. And before we're doing that, right, they're really asking, right, two questions here, fundamental. For me, it's that is love and patience sufficient enough to lead the kids to the Lord? Is obedience the ultimate goal for our Christian education? Because that's the church, right, really providing education. Education to bring all the members, right, get closer to the God. And the challenging is particularly more drastic to the children. And sometimes we are lost in between. We don't know how to do it. It will become upside down. So now we're going to talk about particular passage how Jesus did it. Christian education, run around the love. Not easy. We'll see how love can be expressed in a different way. So if you could, right, starting from verse 15. The event is that Jesus was reaching Jerusalem, and Jesus entered the temple court and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. And he continued to overturn the table of the money changer and the benches of those selling doves. And the action continued. He won't allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple court. And as he taught them, he said, "As it is not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of robbers." So this is very harsh and very heavy. Why Jesus do that? We will go and study this and bring out the thing. So we're coming from the, and continue for the response. The chief priest and the teacher of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill Jesus. Because they feared him, because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. So this is very Christian education embedded. We're going to look at this, study this, right, from the five angles. First one, we'll talk about engaging. Number two, we talk about casting. Third, we talk about overturning, blocking, and come out ending with the enemy. So this is the approach we're going to do. We're going to analyze the verse. So first one will be the engaging. Engaging is very important because the event happened is on the last week of Jesus on the earth, physical. So it's a passion week, the second day. So he just passed through and welcomed warmly through the triumphant, we call it Palm Tree Sunday. Now it's probably the Monday. So he's reaching Jerusalem again and he entered the temple court. Temple. When I say temple, what comes into your mind? Building? Something grand? But this one is physical temple. The temple model is look like this. This is around, I guess it's around 30 to 33 AD. This temple is not the original temple. If you go study the Old Testament, right, the first temple, really the grand temple, was built by who? Yes, King Solomon. What happened to that temple? Was it exist right now? No. Why? Because Israelites do not follow the order, worship the God alone. They do the idol worshiping, and God sent a lot of prophets to warn them, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. Right? Because at that time, Old Testament, they signed a contract. The contract was 10 commandments and the rest. They say we're going to honor God alone. Besides God, there should be no idol. We will not blaspheme your name. And we're going to love one another. But they did not keep their word. So in the end, right, the contract got cashed out. And God called for the penalty. And that's why all the Israelites got conquered and deported out. And the presence of the temple, showing the God's wisdom, also got destroyed. But God did provide a second chance, so they got the second temple rebuilt. And in the end, it was destroyed for rebellion as well. So this is the third temple, but it's not built by God's will. It's built by the Herod the Great, who tried to seek Jesus and kill him. But this here represents the heart of God. God wants to be with us. And this is the one, right, to demonstrate at that time as number one. And if you look around, that's the temple court. So huge. And they are accommodated with a purpose to let the Gentile, which is non-Jew, to come to worship God. So you know the importance is for it related to all the foreigners. So you look around, right, there are so many cults. Some outside, the big one we just told, that is the call for the Gentile, and there's a call for the woman and for the priest everywhere. There are almost 7 cults there. So it's pretty great. And now the problem is, problem is a place supposed to worship God, and it become doing buying and selling there. Buying and selling there. Why? How come the house of God, right? The sacred place, we're supposed to cleanse it and do the burnt offering for God, become a marketing place? How could it be possible? Well, as long as they are human, really not following the God's word, right, it will happen. The problem is at that time, high priest, the one really representing God to do all this, be the mediator between the human being and the God, the high priest, they become a purchasable item. They are really not assigned by God. They are not really coming from the Aaron family. They go to the high bidder with the Roman Empire. So whoever you really say, oh, I'm going to contribute this sum of the money, and the high bidder gain it. So when they purchase that position, their intention is not alone to serving God. They are more like family benefit. So that put into lots of selling and buying there. Later we'll talk about that. And Jesus driving out. The same word used that driving out the demon. Driving out the demon is the same word expressed. Used by Luke and Mark. And so there is a violent force involved. And over time, right? How come inside the temple will be doing the money changer? And the reason is that at that time, according to the Old Testament, right, everybody had to contribute about a half of shekel, and that's according to the Leviticus law. Everybody had to donate it. But at that time, right, all the shekel already gone. That coin already gone. And Roman coin, right, they won't accept that because they're thinking, right, it's improper if you're using the enemy's coin to contribute to worship God. So they set the table to exchange that, and definitely, right, there will be the currency exchanging fee, and which is not minimum amount, at least around, according to historical research, at least about 7 to 10% overcharge over there. And there is a benches, right, to selling dough. Is dough expensive compared with the bull or sheep? Much cheaper, right? So why selling dough particularly? Because this is particularly for the poor people which have no money for purchase the bull, sheep, or whatever. So God allowed them, right? Worshipper is not the status you are or how much you can afford. You can bring in the dough, which is very cheap at that time. But even this, right? The family tried to rip off. They want the perfect dough. Whatever you bring the picture, right? They'll find that, oh, feather is not good. Oh, peak is not straight. Eye is not opening big enough. And they were disqualified for the poor people. So they require the poor people come in, pay about 3 times extra in order to get this perfect dough for sacrifice to God. And Jesus definitely was not happy. So, and funny thing is that he blocking people. Jesus won't allow people going through. The carrying merchandise, particularly, right, through the temple court. If you remember that particular floor plan, there's so many doors, right? So what people do is that you don't recognize this one as a worship place. They treat it as a shortcut. For example, like us, we're doing a worship right now, all of a sudden, right, people carry a basketball and go in through from there to there. Shortcut. And keep going back and forth. And that's exactly what happened at the time. So you can see, right, a temple, who we say is so grand and is showing the, demonstrate the presence of God. What it became? No different marketplace, right? And what happened is that this is not the worst. Because Jesus was aiming, why are you doing this? Don't you know better? Don't you know the temple of God is for prayer, for personal and the group to have a connection to God? And it's a place, right, you can pray to bring out all the blessing to all the people. But why are you make it a den of robber? You're robbing what? Robbing the glory of God. And if you're going to study this word, right, it's even emin, insurgent. Meaning you are really rebellion so hard, you totally disrespect everything. And that's how harsh it became. But what making it worse is not this, it's responding. And what's the chief priest? They're supposed to be the leader, right? And all the teachers of law, suppose the Bible teacher, right? What they did? They began looking for a way to kill Jesus, cover it up once for all. And just because they fear all whatever they have gonna be destroyed, they're gonna lose all this high bit they spend on this particular job and all the glory, right, for themselves. Because people really amazing about Jesus' teaching. So what did Jesus teach? Jesus teach that temple supposed to be the what? A site for prayer. But he's more into the action, right? Thinking about it, if I come in one day and I pull this out and throw it out, I guess I will be the first one to be cast out from the church. But that's exactly what Jesus did. And he's not only did it once, he did it twice. This is the last time. The first time was 3 years ago, right? When he visited Jerusalem. Same thing. Recorded in the John chapter 2. Nothing changed. So, let's come back, summary wise. Love is not easily angered. Did Jesus clean up the temple out of law? Yes or no? Law of who? For God alone, or also for the people? Both, right? We just sing a song, a beautiful things, right, that God made. That's we, us. And we also think about powerful name of Jesus, right? And we also glorify God. And that's the main purpose of the church exists. If not, we need to clean it up. There's a zeal burning inside the heart of Jesus. A zeal for God's house. And that fire, right, keep burning. And that's how we live, how we should live, how we should serve. Sometimes you show, sometimes don't show. But it certainly will reflect what is inside. Jesus, in the Matthew chapter 15, make it very clear. What was it? There are so many things. Evil thought, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander, evil thought. All this, right? If you're going to study this, right, one of the other, they connect to Ten Commandments. But somehow, right, Jesus is saying, no, cleaning is more than that, just outside. It's going to deep inside. Because everything will grow, expand. And Jesus' final comment is that defilement deep within. Nobody knows what we are thinking right now. We don't know. We got our challenge, we got our difficulty. We just respond to it directly, indirectly. We don't know. King David, God made a very huge covenant with him, right? Everlasting kingdom, everlasting descendants sit on the throne of Israel. Was he a perfect king? No, right? He committed a huge crime at the peak of his successfulness. But he also did repent and regret about what he did. And he recorded in the Psalm 51. He's really crying out loud to God, saying that, "Oh God, create me a clean heart. That's restore." And then going to revere the spirit within me. And then, "Don't cast me out. Don't cast me out. I need your presence. I want that salvation, right? So strong to keep this joyful. Make me joyful. Don't make me suffering like this. Let me have a willing heart to follow you, to be cleansed by you." That's exactly right, his repentance song. And it really touched lots of people. So spiritual cleansing. Spiritual cleansing is not that easy, but it's also very easy. Because most of job, right, is done by God. God had to engage in. God had to cast it out. God had to overturn. God had to block it. And God had to aim in to achieve and need it inside us. But will we let Jesus do that? Will we? Maybe it's not that easy after all. So we go in there, right? It will become a cycle. Because it doesn't mean it. Even inside the church, how often we do the church cleaning? At least once a year, right? So every year we have to do the cleansing. How about house cleansing? How often we need to clean the house? Clean the room? Never. Once a week? How often we take out the garbage? Suppose daily, right? We can do it ourselves, or we can hire, pay the, what's the garbage company to do it, right? Haul it to the garbage collector places. But somehow we have to clean it up, right? Because we don't want our house to stink. Are you stink right now? No. You're in the best part of you. Because we are in the church. We want to be good, smell good, looking good, dress good, look nice. But spiritual cleaning, right, is not easy to be visible. Nobody can tell. And it will keep going and going. It's not a one-time deal. It will repeat and repeat. So, if we close it up, right, spiritual cleansing, number one, we have to make up our mind. Instead of a den of robber, we have to have the zeal for the house cleaning. And we have to wall in to be cleansed by Jesus and become a people of prayer for ourselves and for the loved one and for all the people God wants us to pray. And most important thing is that once you are cleansed, try the best to stay clean. It's very easy, but it's also very hard. And the reason I bring up this subject is because the Christian education. Every particular teacher, right, came on board. We're supposed to qualify. Qualify them first. Is that easy to qualify a person to become a teacher for the children? Sometimes it's not easy. We have a different qualification, different angle. But whatever we do outside, we set a lot of criteria, nothing we can see is inside. But we do believe, by a certain way, God can clean the people up. But the most important thing is that you are willing to let Jesus clean it up. Don't get me wrong, there are so many qualified teachers available for the church. But not all of them, we are permissive that then touch the Christian education. The reason is not we are better than them, it just that spiritual unstable sometimes affect the audience or the students, and it will contaminate all the congregation. So I always thinking that whoever is really doing the God's work is truly a blessing from God, wanted to tune up this teacher. Because it's a blessing job, require a lot. Sometimes you have to give up your personal time. You're coming and to be annoyed. And when you pour out your heart to serve, not necessary, people will appreciate. Most of the time, if you are doing the job, you might receive attack from your co-worker, jealousy involved. And like this, temple court, it became even worse. And people don't know what's wrong because they already get used to it. House cleaning is very important. But most important is our temple, because we are part of the temple, spiritual temple God built it up on earth. It's not the building that come. It's us most valuable in the sight of God. So now we come in together. If you are this block, you are clean. There's a block is not clean, which thing from your angle and your criteria, how will you do? First question, were you willing to get closer and build it up together? Or you are going to say, okay, you're dirty. I'm going to find another clean block to build this church. Be a better example for other world. And it happened for the church, happened for the workplace, happened for the house, family. You cannot separate your life, say this is church life, this is workplace, this is family. No. That's not the intention of God. As long as one day, that day, we make a commitment, repent ourselves, accept Jesus into our life, we belong to God, holy. It's not where you serve, how you serve. It's that you're belonging. So age really make no difference. Place make no difference. Successful or miserable make no difference. Only thing is that, are you really doing this to honor God out of a pure motive? And you're willing to sacrifice and stick to this commitment as how committed God commit to us. That's exactly what spiritual cleansing is all about. Future is not for us to know. We don't know what's going to happen in the next moment. But on this moment, are you willing to be cleansed by God? That's why Jesus is so mad. That's why Jesus was zeal to clean it up. So we are so glad, right? Jesus cleaned it up. So we know we have hope, no matter what the situation we really are. So we may God really bless through His own word, His own act. Let's bow our head and pray. Dear Jesus, we are truly grateful. We are really thankful for the things you already done for us. Sometimes we are in the middle of living, we lost ourselves. Because life itself is full of challenges. And sometimes it makes us suffocated. We see no future, or we're thinking about life is really tough. Every day we are seeking to get better. And sometimes just getting worse in our own view. But we truly know that you really care for us. Otherwise you won't come down to the earth for us. You won't really won't let us go that easily. So we're really pleading here that you can come into our heart. Clean us up, really remove those selling and trading, turn off all those tables, clean us up. For this, right, then we can really stand it for you. We do know it's not easy. Sometimes we try to grab it ourselves so strong, we just won't let go. But we do know you are powerful. We do know if you are willing, you will clean us up. So please, hear our pleading, help us out. Let us have an inside out spiritual cleansing here. And we are really hoping you can help us out. Because all this is for you and the Father's glory. We pray in your name.